Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Today, we're going to be examining the temptations that Jesus experienced in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days. This is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. These temptations are very instructive to us, far more than we might think if we read through them quickly. The heart of Jesus was just plumbed to the depth in these temptations, and it brings forth this immaculate character of the Lord. And the greatest commandment is for us to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the more we get to know Jesus, the more we love Him. There's no hidden bad surprises like when we're in a human relationship and we think a person is just everything we could ever want. But then as we get to know them, you know, little by little things come out that are just need a little adjustment. Well, it's not the same with Jesus. The more we get to know Him, the more we are amazed at the beauty of His character. So I really love going through the temptations of Jesus because it presents the character of the Lord in a way that causes us to love Him with all of our heart.
He heals the broken hearted, binds up their wounds, gathers Jerusalem. It's outcast to Him. Death swallowed up and tears wiped from all faces. This is our God for whom we have waited. His mercies toward you, He'll wipe away every tear.
So let us turn over to Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Then the devil took Him into the holy city and had Him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will give His angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' But Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" In this temptation, Jesus was subjected to a very subtle temptation. And to understand this, let us imagine that Jesus was being tempted in all things as we are, as it says in the book of Hebrews. So let's imagine that instead of a horned creature coming as a visible person, let's imagine that Jesus was tempted as we are and was suddenly filled with an overwhelming consciousness that He was the Son of God. And with that came a heady conviction that even if He threw Himself off the pinnacle of the temple, the Father would send His angels to catch Him. Now, it is true that the Father would let no harm come to His beloved Son, but that wasn't the temptation. It really had nothing to do with throwing or catching. It was to see if there was a shadow on Jesus' heart that He would think Himself so important that the Father would never let anything happen to Him. Now, this temptation is so subtle that most of us can't even understand why it's bad. But this is the heart of it. A slight change from a mentality of complete humility to one of thinking thoughts of self-enlargement and self-importance. This is what he was tempted to do. There is the element of truth and yet the potential of a shadow over his heart. The temptation was that he would think highly of himself. And that is something that is very easy to do. Had he succumbed to this, he wouldn't have the beauty that we see in him now. The reason that we love Jesus so much is that his heart was exposed to these temptations and they revealed what was truly in his heart. These temptations showed what was at the core of our Savior. This is our King of Kings, the one who refuses to think highly of himself, even in the tiniest way. He refused to do it. And this temptation is extremely relevant to us because today we are taught, we are instructed to do the very thing which Jesus refused to do. The thing that proved his character by refusing to do, we are taught to indulge in. We are actually instructed to do the very opposite of what Jesus did. Today, we're taught to have high self-esteem. This is psychological jargon for plain old-fashioned pride, the same pride that got the devil kicked out of heaven. We are taught to have a high opinion of ourselves. We are instructed that this is good and godly, but it's high time someone had the courage to address it. This is not the gospel according to Jesus, but the very opposite of it. Christian books come into this Bible school continually teaching this very thing. But the gospel of self-esteem is the anti-gospel. We don't see it in Jesus. And we find this theme of having a high opinion of ourselves very prevalent in many, especially in many Christian women's books. But to think highly of ourselves is deadly poison. It is a witch's brew designed to corrupt our hearts in the very same way that Lucifer's heart was corrupted. That it's okay to be desiring to be worshipped is the central theme of many of the most widely read Christian women's books today. We are taught that this is natural and good, and that we should have no inhibitions about desiring adoration from others. But this is what caused Satan to be expelled from heaven. If we allow the tiniest bit of thinking highly of ourselves, if we let the self-esteem movement and the self-esteem gospel get a grip on us, we will be corrupted in our heart. It doesn't make us like Jesus, it makes us like the devil. Listen to what Ezekiel has to say concerning thinking highly of ourselves. Quote, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor, and I cast you to the ground. That's Ezekiel 28:17, and Ezekiel is speaking about the devil. And Jesus would have nothing to do with thinking highly of himself, and neither should we. We should be thinking highly of our God. We should be thinking highly of our Savior. Let us have a high opinion of him instead of ourselves. So we see from these temptations the amazing instruction that applies directly to us today. The word instructs us to run from every thought of self-glory. To do this, we must take refuge in the character of Jesus, who, though being God, refused to consider it a thing to be grasped or dwelt on, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. And that is who our Jesus is. As we look carefully at these temptations, we're amazed at the purity of his character. The loveliness of God is his humility. And we all love people who are humble, and there is no one more humble than our God. In this temptation, Jesus resisted the very thing that we as Christians are taught to embrace today. Now let's move on to the next temptation, which says, and the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came to minister to him. This is a compressed, concentrated temptation that practically everyone skims over, unable to comprehend why it's so significant. It's easy to miss that in this temptation, kingdoms were clashing, great wrestlings were taking place, and our lives were at stake. This was a monumental testing that determined our eternal state. Let's examine it. Let's start again from the point of view that he was tempted in all things as we are. So let's just imagine that he was not tempted by a fiery red man with a pitchfork, but more subtly as we would be tempted. And I'm not saying that the devil didn't come in person, but it's easier for us to understand this temptation if we understand it the way we would be tempted. And that is with an overwhelming urge or overwhelming desire. Jesus was on the verge of actually establishing the kingdom of God. His ministry was starting right at that minute. He was the king of the kingdom of God, which was beginning right then. He had finished his time in the wilderness, his 40 days of fasting, and his ministry was going to start immediately. And all those around him were expecting an earthly kingdom, a glorious earthly kingdom, as we covered in our previous lessons. And now the king himself is being tempted by a strong, overwhelming sensation of having people worship him, glorifying him, praising him. He may have been suddenly beset with an intense urge to be glorified and to love the praise of men. He wasn't so much being tempted with kingdoms. Those were already being given to him. The devil was tempting him to receive the glory and praise of men, and it would have been overwhelming. In the balance was life and death, our life and death. It's likely that the devil bestowed on Jesus an intense awareness of what it would be like to be praised by men, to be universally loved. And it must have been very intoxicating. Now, to understand this well, let's make it personal. And let us remember that Jesus was being tempted to enjoy the praise of man. Let's say one person compliments us on something and means it sincerely. And our response is, wow, that felt good. All of us are insecure and everyone wants to be loved. That's pretty much at the core of our being. So if anyone expresses admiration for some little point of our appearance or our ability, it's very hard to have it not affect us. Now, if 12 people sincerely compliment the same thing, we would begin to be conscious of that feature. In fact, we would have a very strong temptation to become proud of that thing. Now, let's say we have 2 or 500 people in a church appreciating the speaker. Imagine 500 people appreciating us. Imagine 5,000 or 10,000. We would be drunk with the sensation that we are elevated. And Proverbs says that a man's heart is tested by his reaction to praise. Gold is tested by fire, but a person's heart is tested by praise. His reaction to praise, whether he's humble or full of pride. That means if we take the praise into our heart, it corrupts us. So if a little bit of praise enters our heart and we dwell on it, we are actually corrupted by it. So take that into society. When we have 1,000 people adulating a Christian singer or a preacher or worship leader, who can resist that feeling? Practically none, because we love the praise of men. And to make things even more difficult, it's two-sided, because as people, we have a natural tendency to elevate the person on stage and to idolize them. It doesn't seem to be able to be stopped, but woe to the person who receives it, who receives the praise of men. They are dead. So if you are a worship leader, be very careful. it would be better for you to take your instrument and stay at home if you like being on stage in front of people and you like being admired. In a case like this, you are already corrupted and need to seek the Lord earnestly to cleanse you from this heart attitude, because you are actually taking to yourself the worship that belongs only to God. And that's not saying that there are not some who have overcome this and really are there to glorify God, but many love the glory of man, and for those, it would be far better to stay home. And, of course, it's getting a lot worse because we add all kinds of professional trappings to our worship today to make it become like a stage act. We have made idols out of our worship leaders, and woe to that worship leader that takes the glory that belongs to Jesus. A true worship leader thinks nothing of himself, thinks only about the one that they are worshiping, and directs all the glory to the Lord. This is a true worshiper, and it's a very rare thing today. So Jesus is now being tested by praise. And if he had given in for one moment and enjoyed the praise of men, all would have been lost for us. He would have been unable to complete the will of the Father. He would have been corrupted like the devil. That's how the devil was corrupted. He was lifted up because of his beauty. He thought highly of himself, and so he was cast down. But Jesus stood firm and would not allow any proud thoughts to be in his heart. And yet, he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is worthy to be praised. But he wouldn't take on himself the tiniest bit of receiving praise to enjoy it because it had not yet been given to him by the Father. So his passing that test was the foundation that enabled him to obey the Father's will, to go not into the kingship of a glorious kingdom, but to the cross. And that going to the cross is what purchased our salvation. As we read on through the gospel, we see later on this trial came to pass again. This time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the crowds were adoring him. Had Jesus allowed the tiniest bit of praise into his heart at the time of his temptations, then he would have failed when the masses were proclaiming him king. He had all the appearance of success riding into Jerusalem. The kingdom of God had come, the new Solomon, except for one small thing. The Father's will was that he was going to be accused, whipped, beaten, rejected, and go to the cross. He had to turn a deaf ear to the praise of men. That was God's plan for our salvation. If Jesus hadn't been tempted and purified at this time, he would not have been able to be deaf to the praise of men and go to the cross. He had to be dead to the praise of men. Jesus' heart was found perfect, so that when he got to Jerusalem, his face was set like flint to do the Father's will. This is who we serve. This is why we love him, because he is beautiful in the character of his heart. And so for us, we have to understand that we can't desire the approval of man either. If we are seeking approval by doing some great piece of writing or music or video because we long to be recognized for our talents, we are doomed to failure in regard to the true kingdom of God. We may have success in this world, but we will not have success in the kingdom of God. And it would be far better to die in obscurity than to do something that would bring us acclaim and we would be corrupted by it. That's why we have such danger in our Christian obsession with making movies. Everyone wants to be known. Everyone wants to be famous, recognized. Our society esteems actors in films, and it's the number one focus of Christians everywhere who are clamoring for the same recognition. I appreciate our brother, Kirk Cameron, who addresses that and says, if you don't have a heart to be obscure, you should never be in public ministry. We should never want the praise of man. It's better to live unknown, obscure, and die there. Until we can embrace being a nothing and a nobody for Christ, we can't really be used by God at all because our heart would be corrupted by it. Death to self, death to the praise of man must be accomplished in us. Our desire must be to please just one person, the Father. That was Jesus' goal, and to have the Father's approval, he had to make everyone hate him. And so we must follow. Jesus said we would be hated by all on account of his name, and he meant it. So we have to follow after him. We must go forward without the praise of man. We must become hardened to the criticism of men in order to follow Jesus, which is the only way we can do any good. That's why God allows it. If we are swayed by the criticism of men, we will also be swayed by their praise. Let's pray. Lord, we love your character. We love the beauty of your character, that you are found to be humble of heart all the way to the core of your being. Lord, we desire to be more like you, and we pray that you would root out of us all of our desire for self-seeking, for self-glory, and we surrender it to you, Lord. Let us have a lowly opinion of ourselves and a high opinion of you. Lord, this is what your word says, that those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart will be cast down, but those who are lowly in heart will be lifted up by you. Lord, help us to see every area where we have thought over highly of ourselves, and let it be cast down, Lord. Let us, Lord, also encounter these temptations, but let us pass the temptations as you did. Lord, we surrender our pride, surrender all of these things to you. Make us humble in heart like you are. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
that you